This morning, I want to share a passage of text with you from the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And as I mentioned, we're in this series on the subject of commotion. But right before we read from Mark chapter 5, I want to give you an anchor text for this morning. We're going to find it in the book of John. The Gospels in the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John tells us why the Gospels were written. John chapter 20, verse 31 says this, "But these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." So the reason that you have the New Testament, specifically the gospel, which is directly interpreted as meaning good news, is so that you and I will believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and that we will have a personal relationship with Him, and that those things that He did 2,000 years ago, we would believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we've been given the gospel. So I just want you to keep this in mind, and we're going to dive in to the text for today. And as we look at Mark chapter 5, just a little bit of context here. There are two things happening in this passage. One of them is Jesus has been invited to come to a home where a little girl has passed away. And while He is traveling to visit this girl whom they say is dead, He says is sleeping, there's a woman that grabs a hold of the hem of His garment, and she is healed instantaneously by the faith she exercised in that moment. Then Jesus ultimately arrives at the house, and He starts raising dead people. But I want you to see this in verse 36. As Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So you need to know this. The ruler of the synagogue was the father of the little girl. You with me? The ruler of the synagogue was the father of the little girl. And so Jesus is being requested to come to this home. And He says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And He permitted no one to follow Him except Peter, James, and John. Now, I don't know that I'm going to get a lot of time this morning to really dive into the power of this verse. But this is something, if you're going to take it home with you and you're going to chew on something, this is one of those verses you need to chew on. That as He's going to be a part of making this miracle happen, it says He permitted no one to go with Him, not even out of His disciples, except Peter, James, and John. In verse number 38, "And then He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, the father of the little girl, and He sees that things are tumultuous and that people are weeping and that they are wailing loudly. And when Jesus comes into the house, He says, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, she is sleeping.'" You ever noticed how heaven has a different perspective than earth? How that when you see it one way, God tends to see it a different way. And because they were looking with fleshly eyes and looking through the eyes of the natural, there is a commotion that is breaking out. And Jesus says, "Why? Why all the commotion? Do you not understand? She's not dead. She's just asleep." This morning, we're going to talk about commotion. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for the incredible high privilege of preaching Your word. I pray, God, that in this moment that You would do something that coincidence would not be able to take the credit for, that You would bind every spirit of hindrance, You would bind every spirit of distraction, and that, God, You would give me an unction and a special grace to teach and to preach Your word, God, and to encourage Your people. In Jesus' name, this church said, amen and amen. Guys, I'm looking at the queue, and it looks like a couple of things may have gotten off base in that. But the thing that I want to share with you this morning is that when I was thinking about the creation process, okay, and I'm thinking about how that we know that God created the heavens and the earth, right? But when the enemy shows up, the first thing I want to ask you this morning is, have you ever wondered why the enemy showed up as a snake? Have you ever wondered why the enemy showed up as a snake? Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm not a big fan of snakes. The campus pastor here in Columbia, I can tell you, he's not a fan of snakes. I Like, I know some people have different variations of affection for them. Personally, I'm not a big fan. And when it comes to a snake, like, I just can't imagine that if you were going to try to seduce someone, if you were going to try to convince someone, why would you show up looking like a snake? Well, number one, Scripture tells us that before the fall of man, the snake actually was considered beautiful. It was actually after the fall of man that evidently something about its imagery changed. But I think to really understand why the enemy would show up as a snake, you have got to understand the timeline. And when you understand the timeline, here's what you come to know. First thing is, God made the earth. After God made the earth, God made humanity. And then after God made humanity, he gave them dominion. Now, I want you to think about that word dominion. Help your neighbor and look at him and tell him, dominion. That word's going to mean something significant to us this morning. So make sure everybody's on the same page. Look at somebody else and tell them, dominion. Dominion. So God made the earth, then God made humanity in his image, and he gave them dominion. Well, prove that, preacher. Like, what are you even talking about? Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Over all the earth. Can we say it out loud just for emphasis? Over all the earth. So everything, God made the earth, God made man, God gave man dominion. And they have dominion over every single thing that is on earth. And the clearest definition of this word Hebrew, this word dominion in the Hebrew, actually means that it is to dominate or to trample or to tread down. And so what God has basically said to humanity is everything's going to be under your feet. There's not going to be anything that will be able to rise up against you. You will have complete and total dominion over every single aspect of the earth. But remember, there was a timeline. And remember, we were trying to figure out why the devil showed up like a snake. You see, God made the earth. God made humanity. Humanity was given dominion, but somewhere in the middle of all this, Lucifer got cast out of heaven. And Scripture does not go into detail of telling us the explicit moment in this process where that Lucifer got cast out of heaven. What we do know is that there was an archangel. His name was Lucifer. He was leading worship in heaven. And then he decided that the worship should be for him instead of to God. And he tried to attack God's throne. He took a bunch of the angels with him. Evidently, there was a rebellion in the choir. And God cast Satan down. And Satan falls to the earth. And we just don't know the exact moment. Like, was it before God? Like, before God made man? Is it after God made man? All we know is evidently it was somewhere in that vicinity of the earth having already been created, because Jesus actually said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw Satan fall from heaven. He had to land somewhere. Y'all are slow, but some of you are thinking, I know where he landed. All right. Oh, my. And so Jesus is saying, like, I was there in the creation process, and I was there when Satan rebelled against the throne, and I saw Satan fall. Jesus is saying, I saw it. He said, I saw it happen. And the very next section of verses, Jesus said, and since I saw it, I give you authority to trample on. Oh, if I had a Hammond B3 organ, I would really preach right now. He said, I saw it, and since I saw it, since I was there when it happened, since I had a ringside seat for it, since I was involved in the process, I just want you to know, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Do you know why I think the enemy had to take on the form of a serpent? Because man had dominion over all the earth. And the only way that Satan was allowed to tempt them is if he first came under their dominion. so that it was not something that he was taking away from man, it was something that man was giving away. And that man made the decision to submit to the enemy rather than making the enemy submit to him. And ultimately what happened is instead of Adam and Eve trampling the head of this devil who has showed up, instead they get trampled. Instead of stepping on the enemy, they got stepped on. And in that moment in the Garden of Eden, the enemy took something from mankind. He took dominion from them. And he brought the earth unto a level of darkness that it would never have known if man would have kept his dominion. But because man gave up that dominion, what we see is Paul has to shed some light for us. He says, you need to understand that when Jesus came to the earth, you need to give thanks to the Father because he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he brought us into the kingdom that his Son loves. And so the whole point is this. Jesus went and got it all back. That everything that man lost, Jesus took it back. Paul went as far as to say where the second Adam failed, or where the first Adam failed, the second Adam succeeded, basically saying that Jesus was God's redemptive plan for the earth. And so all this stuff that man lost in Eden, all this dominion that he lost, all this stuff that he should have been treading on, that was now treading on him, Jesus shows up to say, I'm going to get dominion back for you. And since I was there the first go-round, I'm going to have the authority to pull it off the second go-round. And what you see in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5 is Jesus begins to establish his dominion and prove that he has dominion. We're not going to look at all of it, but we're going to look at a little bit of it. At the end of Mark chapter 4, it's one of the most famous moments in Jesus' ministry. It's verses 35 through 41, and it's a moment where the winds and the waves obey Jesus. It was a disturbance. Jesus was asleep in the boat, and winds started to blow, and waves started to get into the boat, and the disciples start to literally freak out. There's a commotion. And then Jesus gets up and is like, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you so worried? Why are you so concerned? And he steps to the bow of the boat and he says, peace, be still. And in that moment, he took dominion over a disturbance in creation and proved even the winds and the waves had to obey him. You come right out of verse 41 and close out Mark chapter 4 and you're immediately in Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we talked about it, Jesus meets a madman. And that madman is possessed of, we know, probably over 2,000 demons. He called himself Legion, which would have meant he probably had 3,000 to 6,000 demons. And there was nobody that could chain this man. There was nobody that could fix this man. They couldn't stop him from cutting himself. They couldn't keep him from hurting other people. And then Jesus showed up. And Jesus, with one statement, redirected thousands of demons and proved in that moment when he set this guy free that he had dominion over the demonic. He had dominion over the devil. The very next section of Scripture moves us into verse number 21. And in verse number 21 through 34, we realize that there is a woman who has a disease. She has an issue of blood. And there's this press of people that are around Jesus. And as she makes her way through the press, she's been sick for over 12 years. She's spent every dime that she has trying to get a doctor to fix her. There is no surgical procedure. There is no medicine that can resolve her. And she is literally bleeding to death every day of her life. But when she heard Jesus was passing by, she got her way into the press, and she reaches out and she grabs the hem of his garment. Jesus stopped right there, turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And they looked at him and said, "How can you ask who touched me? Everybody's touching you." And he said, "No, you don't understand. Somebody really touched me." In other words, it's one of those days where everybody went to church, but somebody really went to church. Like, everybody went to worship, but somebody really went to worship. Like, everybody went to get prayer, but somebody really went to get prayer. And it's in this moment that we learn that faith has a way of touching heaven in a non-casual way. That something significant happened. So we've watched Jesus take dominion over a disturbance. We've watched Jesus take dominion over the demons of hell. And now we're just continuing to move forward through this little section of Mark. And now he's taking dominion over disease. And what no physician or surgeon could fix in 12 years in one moment when heaven came to earth, it was done. And proved Jesus' dominion. But he isn't finished. We haven't closed out chapter 5 yet. Because he's about to show up at a little girl's house. And the little girl is dead. And what we know to happen is that Jesus showed that he also had dominion over death. He resurrected the little girl. And so I want to take you back to our anchor text. I know every one of you can quote it, right? You don't even remember what book of the Bible it was in. John chapter 20, verse 31. Our anchor text for today. Say it with me. But these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So why do we have the Gospels? Why did Mark show us that he'll take dominion over a disturbance? He'll take a dominion over a demon. He'll take dominion over disease. And he'll take dominion over death. Why would we have that? So that you can believe that it has all been X'd out by the red blood of Jesus Christ. That we have dominion. That's the reason you got all of it, is so that you will believe that everything the enemy stole, that Jesus has brought it back to you. You ought to look at somebody, slap them a high five, and tell them, I got dominion. I got dominion. Some of you are dealing with a disturbance. Others of you are dealing with a disease. Others of you know exactly what it is to have death and the shadow of it show up at your doorstep. And I just came to help somebody believe this morning that you need to get your nose back in the good book of Jesus Christ and come to realize that it was all written so that you wouldn't settle for anything less than dominion over the enemy, that you would believe. And Jesus shows up at this house, and when he gets to the house, he comes in and he says, why make this commotion and weep? Did I not just show you a disturbance has no authority over me? Have I not just displayed that demons have no authority over me? He's saying, have I not just shown you on the way here that disease itself, that heaven has dominion over it? Why are you making such a commotion? We are good at commotion. Does anybody else have a 14-year-old daughter? Lord, help me, Jesus. There's some drama up in my house. Commotion up in my house. But that boy of mine, he's got it too. He was just a little fella, and he ran into my bedroom, and he said, Daddy! Big, big spider! I said, Dawson, what are you talking about? Daddy's a big, big spider. Come. I go to Dawson's room. I follow him in. I'm like, Dawson, where's it at? Dad, big, big spider. I the big, big spider was the itsy bitsy spider. But I became a hero that day. Aren't we good at commotion? Like, we are good at commotion. Drama. Making it worse than what it actually is. Because we tend to look through the eyes of the earth rather than the eyes of heaven. And what we see is death, and what heaven sees is sleep. What we see is an end that cannot be resolved, and what heaven sees is a new beginning. We don't sometimes understand that commotion is nothing but noisy confusion. Just noise and confusion. And you need to understand something. God specifically said that he is not the author of confusion. And when a disturbance or an attack of the devil or disease or death itself shows up in your life, our first reaction is going to be to make some noise and get all confused and get everybody else around us confused and cause the biggest mess that we possibly can, because it's just the way our flesh responds. Jesus seems to be confused by the confusion. He seems to not understand, why are you causing this kind of confusion? You know what Jesus says the answer is? Only believe. He's like, that's all I need from you. You don't got to vomit all over Facebook. I just need you to believe. Like you don't got to send a bunch of irrational texts. Just believe. Here's how Jesus actually said it in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Only believe. Could you just help me preach again this morning and look at somebody and tell them, only believe. Like when every part of you is wanting to cause a commotion, when every part of you is wanting to get really noisy, when every part of you is wanting to just continue to get further confused, the answer that you're looking for has very little to do with commotion and everything to do with choosing to only believe. And the way that this unfolds in this story is in Mark chapter 5, verse 40, when Jesus got to the house, there are people in the midst of this commotion that are literally ridiculing him. But when he had put them all outside, I'm about to preach. Like I don't know if we understand sometimes that relationships affect faith. Like I don't know if we get it sometimes that really, like the commotion that we surround ourselves with and the noise that we surround ourselves with, it has an effect on the miracle. And so what Jesus did when he arrived here is he says, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put some people out of this house because they are a distraction. He put them out. There's a lot more that I could say, but I'm afraid I'd have to put some. No, I'm joking. Verse 41, and he took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise. I say to you, arise." Now, the next verse I want y'all to pull up for me is the one that says great amazement. Because what happens next is that it says that immediately the girl arose and walked and they were overcome with great amazement. Wait a second. You mean the people that were causing the commotion? You mean the people that didn't believe? You mean the people that ridiculed him and the people that mocked him and the people that when he said she's asleep, they said she's dead? Isn't it amazing how that sometimes when you choose to get the commotion and the confusion out of your life, that the people that understand you the least on the other side of it become the ones who celebrate you the most? What happens in this moment is that he realizes there has to be a cutting away, that there has to be a silencing of the commotion. And then once the miracle takes place, everybody literally reaches a place where that they are overcome with great amazement. The next verse that I want them to pull up for me is the verse out of, I think it's Ephesians or Colossians. It's chapter number 1. There it is. And it says, what you need to know, Paul gets this through to you, that when Jesus is doing this stuff, what has happened is the Father has worked in Christ so that when he raised him from the dead, that he seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. And then verse number 21 goes on to say that he is above all rule and he is above all authority and he's above all power and he's above all dominion. And every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one that is to come. And verse number 22 decrees that God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So you say, preacher, where are we going with all of this? You got to look at your life for a minute and realize you've been dealing with disturbance. You've been dealing with attacks from the devil. You've been dealing with stuff maybe regarding disease or death. But when Jesus shows up in your life, if you cannot cater to the commotion, but instead cater to your faith, what you're going to discover is that there will be an amazement that surrounds every part of your life. life, because Jesus is the head over it all, and he has put the enemy under his feet. And because you are seated in Christ Jesus, all that stuff that is over you should actually be under you. And instead of it trampling you, you should be trampling it, because he says, I will give you power, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Some of you have been putting up with too much from the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. You ought to slap somebody a high five and tell them nothing. Like, I think there has to be an understanding of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And at some point, we got to silence the commotion and celebrate by faith that he just simply said, believe. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. So much I could say, and I'm encouraged in my spirit this morning to know that the reason that God said, I'm going to write all this down for you, is so you'll believe. Are you pulling it all together? That God said, the reason I'm going to write all this down for you is so you'll believe. And then when the worst of all four of these things showed up, death is worse than disease, death is worse than the devil, death is worse than the disturbance. The worst. Jesus said, when you're dealing with the worst of it, only believe. So if I can get myself in the Word, and I can begin to believe, nothing is impossible. And nothing can prevail. Not because of me, because of in whom I believe. But are you ready? Because we get real excited when we find out that we got authority over the disturbance, right? And the devil, and the disease, and death. Just let it sink in for a moment. Jesus said, out of all the things that you're going to rejoice about, don't get excited the most about the fact you've got dominion over the disturbance, the devil, or the disease, or death. He said the thing that you should perpetually be the most excited about is the fact that your names are written in heaven, and that once and for all, you've got dominion over hell itself. You see, because the rest of John 20 says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. The only reason my name gets to be written in heaven is because his name owns it. The name of Jesus. It is above every name. And someday every knee will bow, and someday every tongue will confess. And we're going to believe, and we're going to celebrate that we will have dominion over every attack of the enemy. But may we never lose sight of the fact the thing that should be celebrated the most is that heaven rather than hell is our eternal home. And I shared this in an earlier service, and I share it again with you. I'm concerned about America. And I know that many of you are too, and I'm not just saying that to become a part of the commotion. I'm saying it because we live in temporal paradises. Most of us don't know what it is to have lack or to have want. And there's so many things that are going well or at least good in our lives that I'm not even sure that we fully understand how to value heaven. And that the best we could do, we could never fully comprehend heaven. Maybe the better term is that we don't even really know how to appreciate what has been made available to us for an eternity. But maybe the reason that we can sit through worship gatherings and be casual, maybe the reasons that we can approach God in this way that's nonchalant and not fully lean in is because we don't even understand how wretched hell would be. That it is a place where that the worm does not die. It is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place where that there is perpetual torment, and that the Bible says that ultimately hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire. And Jesus came. As they begin to play the music, Jesus came not just to give you dominion over your disturbance. Not just to give you dominion over your attack of the devil or over whatever the disease is or whatever the death is. He came that you would have dominion through Him over hell itself, and that even the gates of hell would not prevail against you, and that you would be given an eternity for 10,000 upon 10,000 years in His perpetual presence as heaven is your home. And He says, if you're going to celebrate anything, let that be the thing that you celebrate above all else. And I wonder this morning, can you celebrate that? Are you 110% for sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life? That you have made Him your Savior? That you have chosen to forsake all else and put Him first? That if you were to die right now, you know without a shadow of a doubt, this is where I would spend eternity. Right now, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, that is not a small thing. That if God is reaching from heaven into your earthen vessel and beginning to pull you near and say, I got a plan for you that is beyond anything that you've settled for up to this point. And that of all the places that He can flex the muscles of heaven and give you dominion, He says, I want to deal first and foremost with your eternity to give you eternal life. If God is dealing with your heart right now, then why run from Him any longer? Why not right now, right here, choose to surrender to Him? Like it's an old-fashioned question, but it's worth asking. Like, what if I'm the last preacher you ever hear? Because we have this way of putting it off to tomorrow, or let me get this issue fixed, or let me get this situation fixed, or let me get this resolved. And life is uncertain. And tomorrow is promised to no man. And out of all the places Jesus wants to give you dominion, why resist what He wants to do in your eternity?